Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll catch up with Adam Vinken at 1 p.m., get back into Predators Game 5, looking back, looking ahead to Game 6 at 1. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton later in the show. But D. Mays, I wanted to start here because we love mock drafts so much on the show. So we're going to start doing mock drafts for 2025. We're going to look ahead. Full 12 months of draft talk.
Wow, we got it.
I'm kidding.
Man.
Yeah, I'm kidding. But I did want to look at a mock draft, a way too early 2025 mock draft. And obviously we know that things change in terms of prospects. Like this time last year, it was Caleb Williams and Drake May. Like, we weren't talking about Jaden Daniels being a potential top three, top five pick in the draft. So we know that stocks will rise. We know that stocks will fall. We know that things will be completely shaken up. But what I think is most interesting about some of these way too early mock drafts is where some people project certain teams to be picking. Like, how bad do we really think some insiders think certain teams are going to be? So I looked at The Athletic, and this is Dane Brugler's way too early 2025 mock draft. Any guess of who has the first overall pick, at least in Dane Brugler's fantasy world of mock drafts in 2025?
Oh, who has the first pick in the draft? Carolina.
Yep.
I just kind of threw that.
Carolina. Everyone expects Carolina to stink for yet another year. Has Carolina taking a defensive player, holding on to Bryce Young and holding on to keeping that hope alive. Any guess for who's picking second?
Carolina first. Goodness. Wow. I would say I want to lean toward the New England Patriots.
It's not a bad guess.
But I'm going to say the Cardinals or Falcons.
The Tennessee Titans.
Oh, wow. they predict them to be that bad?
Yeah.
The second overall pick. So you got to win like four, five, six games, seven games,
well,
six.
Let's see. The Washington Commanders picked second overall this past season.
They won like what, five, six games, seven games?
How many games did they win? 4-13.
Wow. So second pick. So you're basically saying they're going to win between 4 and 6 games. That's it. It's basically give or take because each year could be a little bit different.
Well, Titans won 6 games this past season and they picked 7th.
I know.
So to be that bad, to be picking second overall. And look, so obviously that's Dane Brugler's opinion. So but
I want to – okay. Is there – because I have not – I purposely didn't pull it up because I just wanted to guess.
Yeah.
What is his reasons, or does he give any reasons?
Well, any idea of what position they could be, what Dane Brugler thinks the Titans would be focusing in on with the second overall pick?
If you got the second pick, a quarterback. Because
bingo.
Yeah. If you're that bad, that means your quarterback didn't play well.
Bingo. Dane Brugler has the Titans selecting Carson Beck, the quarterback out of Georgia. He writes, if the Titans are drafting this high next April, the organization might be reexamining its quarterback situation. In his first year as a starter, Beck got consistently better with each performance and put some beautiful throws on tape. He enters the season as the quarterback scouts like the most. That's great and all. We'll see about Carson Beck as a quarterback prospect in February of next year. But I would agree that if you are so bad that you are picking second in the draft, you're probably going to be in the quarterback market.
Yes.
If you win 4 games, that's a direct indictment of your quarterback, especially given what the Titans have done to upgrade the offense, trying to upgrade the offensive line, pass catcher, so on and so forth. So I would agree in the philosophy of if you're that bad, that's the coach or the quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's a direct indictment of Will Levis.
I'm trying to figure out why there's this, you know, national narrative of Will Levis, because I don't hear this narrative about Bryce Young, and we know why he was horrible, at least from the outside looking in. Their offensive line, their team was horrible. Period. Yeah, and he's an undersized quarterback anyway, and he had no time to operate in the pocket. But there's not much talk based upon that. But Will Levis went through the same exact thing, same exact thing that Bryce Young went through. The a inept offensive line. Now, Bryce Young didn't have many weapons on the outside either.
Adam Thielen?
Yeah, Adam, when you count that, I like Adam Thielen. He's a good player, but I don't want him as my number one receiver.
No.
I don't. I don't want my pass game to be predicated on whether he gets the job done or not. No, we need more players. So you look at, you see that, but Carolina Panthers, you're saying they have the number one pick, but they're not drafting a quarterback? That's basically, I think that's what Dane Brugler, or does he have them taking a quarterback?
No, he has them taking a defensive lineman.
Like, if you're picking number one outside of this past year, because we saw what happened, if you're picking number one, that means your quarterback didn't get the job done again. Mm-hmm. Last year, I don't put that on him. This year, if they you look at their draft, if he doesn't play well and you have the number one pick, you may need to readjust who you readjust or rethink who you have at quarterback. So my thing is, why is this national narrative about Will Levis so much different than these other quarterbacks? I just don't understand it, because he played well in a few games. He played not well in some few others. But if you look at what he had around him, meaning the offensive line, and the inconsistencies in some of his playmakers, he was not prepared to have a great season or really good season. He just wasn't.
I think the one difference is where they were drafted.
Yeah.
Bryce Young was the first overall pick, and Carolina gave up the farm to move up to number one to select.
But if he's not the guy, he's not the guy.
I'm with you. But when you are the first overall pick, mm-hmm. you're going to have more patience.
Yeah.
You'll have more benefits of the doubt. You'll have more time than a second-round pick in Will Levis. Even though the Titans, you know, traded up to get Will Levis, yes. it's a much different story of trading up to, what, the 33rd overall pick versus the first overall pick. So I think that's the biggest difference there. And I believe Dane Brugler even said it. If it wasn't this one, then it was a different mock draft that also had the Carolina Panthers taking having the first overall pick and not taking a quarterback. And I forgot where I read it, and I apologize for not having that off the top of my head. But it was, you know, Carolina's going to give Bryce Young another opportunity, which I feel like you should.
I mean, I get it.
First overall pick, you're going to give him a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. So I don't think anyone expects Carolina to be good. Mm. And nobody expects the Titans to be good. And nobody expects Will Levis to be good. Because if you expect them to be that bad, that is a direct indictment of your quarterback. And we talked to Tim Hasselbeck about it yesterday. I mean, I trust Tim Hasselbeck wholeheartedly when it comes to quarterbacks and quarterback evaluation. And this was his evaluation on Will Levis and what he saw from him this past season.
Yeah, I would say this about Levis. I think that he, you know, changed my perception of him, you know, from the preseason into the regular season. You know, typically speaking, guys, you know, don't, you know, struggle in the preseason or have missed opportunities in the preseason and then get an opportunity during the year and play well. So, and I think that, you know, he, like, was it perfect? No, but, like, did he show enough promise? Yeah, I think that he did. And so, you know, what is a reasonable expectation? Like, if you just look at the sample size of 9 games last year where he throws, you know, 8 touchdowns and 4 picks and under 2,000 yards, like, you know, if you just were to say, all right, like, let's go ahead and let's just double the games. So if he throws for under 4,000 yards, you know, 16 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, like, that won't get it done in terms of having the job the following year. It just won't. So, you know, is that realistic? Yeah, I actually think that's realistic. But what do I think needs to happen in order for him to have the job going into the following season? I think he needs to play way better than that. He probably needs to, you know, he needs to be, you know, right around 4,000 yards. He probably needs to have over 25 touchdowns. He probably needs to have, you know, fewer than 10 interceptions. And if he does that, then I think there'll be a chance that he's a starting quarterback going into the following season.
And I think that's a fair evaluation. That when it comes to Will Levis, I feel like I'll hear from Titans fans or people locally, and it's one side of the spectrum of, you know, Will Levis is the greatest gift to the game of football. And then the other side is Will Levis is absolutely horrendous. The Titans are going to have the second overall pick in the 2025 draft. And remember that FanDuel post a couple of months ago? And Will Levis ranked as the 32nd best quarterback in the National Football League behind Jaden Daniels, who wasn't even drafted yet. Behind Caleb Williams, who hadn't even been drafted yet. Behind Bryce Young, who, let's be honest, didn't show as much promise as Will Levis did in his rookie season. And I'll be fair, I didn't watch enough Carolina Panthers football because I care about myself too much to subject myself to watching Carolina Panthers football. But it's this wide range of evaluation of Will Levis, and I don't get where it's coming from. It's that I feel like the middle ground that I think is a more fair evaluation, like Tim said, was it perfect? Absolutely not. Did you see some good things? For sure. Does it need to get better? 100%. And if it doesn't, the Titans are going to move on. But I don't know that yet. And I can't make that evaluation one way or another, that he's absolutely terrible, that nobody believes in him. And on the other side, when a lot of Titans fans are thinking, Will Levis is the future of the franchise. Maybe. I don't know.
He could be. I look at it from this standpoint. And I know that there's a difference between first person drafted and everybody else. I get that part. When you are the number one pick in any draft, then they're going to give you space to be who you are. They're going to give you that room and that time and that space to be who you are. And typically with quarterbacks drafted first pick overall, it's at least 3 years they're going to give them. Because they feel if they're drafting that high, their team is not that good. So they want to build their team up. So that first year is okay. Everything's being thrown at them. Second year, we add more pieces and then you get a little bit better. And by that third year, we better. That has to be the year where we know definite that you are the guy, because the one place we didn't add was the quarterback, but we added everything around the quarterback to make sure the quarterback had enough going into that third and fourth year when we eventually have to re-sign him to another contract. So I understand that with the first overall pick, whether it's a quarterback or whether it's a defensive lineman, you're going to give them more space to grow.
Yeah.
But my thing is, shouldn't you give space to grow to a second round pick, a third round pick, guys that you are counting on? When you draft somebody in the first, second, and third round, these are guys that you are truly counting on. These are more than likely, wherever you're picking, they're a top 100 guy. So you're counting on them to contribute in a big way for your team. Maybe not the first year. That would be great. Maybe not the first, but you eventually want this guy to be a second contract guy because you drafted him in the first three or four rounds. So why not, I don't understand from a national narrative, why not give Will Levis the time to grow? And I'm not saying give him 3, 4, 5 years. Give him time to grow as a player. This was a bad team last year. A bad team. He shouldn't have been playing considering how bad they were up front. But he had to because the quarterback went down. Ryan Tannehill, he got hurt, so Will Levis had to come in. So why not give him a year where he's the starter? And now this is where we truly start evaluating this young man. It seems like people are already willing from a national standpoint to throw him out. Like throw him out with the bathwater. Just go ahead. We're done with him. If he doesn't throw for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, then we're done with him. Well, what if he throws for 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, and maybe 10 interceptions? Are you done with him then? Because he's progressing as a quarterback.
Depends on what that looks like in the win-loss column.
If he throws 25 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, it's not his problem.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on isn't his problem because he's efficient in what he's doing. More than likely, he's completing about 66, 67% of his passes. So he's doing his part. Everybody else isn't doing their part. If I look at that and those are his stats, the first thing I think of is, man, they should have a winning season, right? Because the quarterback is playing pretty good. He's progressing as a player. I don't understand what this sort of, I'm not going to say hate, because I don't want to say it's hate, but this sort of indifference. Yeah, lack of belief. And truly, where did it come from? Because like every rookie quarterback, even Bryce, even C.J. Stroud, he had some bad games, but obviously he had more good games than bad games. But he had his share of bad games. The playoff game wasn't good for him.
And if you give me C.J. Stroud or Will Levis, I'm taking C.J. Stroud.
Oh, yeah.
Stroud, 10 out of 10 times.
No, I get that part. But
I hear you.
Will Levis, he struggled at times, but he played well at times too. I think they seen enough in him that, okay, we need to surround him with some more playmakers. And then they believe that they can maximize, they can continue to maximize his ability to play the quarterback position. Let's not forget, this guy, he probably was in some draft boards a first round pick, maybe not a top 10, but he was a first round pick. The Titans thought so much of him that they traded up to get him.
But didn't take him in the first.
And I understand they didn't take him in the first. I get that, but but they were not, I don't think they were willing to trade back because of their inability to protect on the offensive line. So they had to get an offensive lineman. Now, whether you like the Skoronski pick at guard or tackle, that's neither here nor there right now. But they had to address the offensive line, and then they came back, traded up, and got their quarterback. They traded up because they believed he was the guy that could ultimately be their quarterback of the future. Now they get to see it. It started off really good, but then got shaky. He played well in those games that he played, and he played bad too. He's a rookie. You come back this next following year surrounded with talent and see how he progressed. Don't just automatically assume, oh, he's going to be bad. They're going to have they're going to have the number two pick. I don't think Will Levis is going to be that bad that they have the number two pick. Now, do they have a top 15 or 20 pick? Possibly, yes. But we also got to think of this too.
If they're picking between 15 and 20, I'll take that.
Yeah, I take it all day too. Absolutely. But the same sort of leeway and the same sort of grace you give these other bad teams, because the first thing people say is, oh, they're going to have an easy schedule. Don't you think the Titans are going to have an easy schedule too? Weren't they the last place team in the division?
Last place schedule, but they also play the AFC North. And so does the rest of the AFC South.
Exactly.
But
so
that's not an easy draw.
But my thing is, they have one of the easier schedules because of their record last year. Mm-hmm. So if that
last
is indeed if that is indeed the case, their record should be better than the second pick in the NFL draft next year. It should be. I'm not saying it will. But it should be. Because you're giving that grace, they're giving that grace to other teams. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're gonna have the worst, they're gonna have a easy schedule, so they should have a better record.
And not just the schedule, mm-hmm. but in theory on paper, and I know you don't play football on paper, but you also don't play football until September. So that's that's the only thing that we have to go off of. On paper, I do think in certain areas this team is upgraded.
Of course they've upgraded.
Cornerbacks upgraded. I would say the offensive line, just with the addition of Lloyd Cushenberry alone, mm-hmm. is upgraded. The pass catching core is upgraded. Mm-hmm. Now, I have questions on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. I have questions with the linebackers. Now, running back, you don't have Derrick Henry anymore, so that's inherently a big question mark, mm-hmm. and I would say probably a step back. But at least on paper, would you argue net positive?
I say it's a net positive, but when you're replacing Derrick Henry, it's like, okay, it's a step back, but it's not like this huge, like, step back. It's not like I'm taking one huge, giant step back that amount to really two steps.
It's an unknown.
It's just a step back because of who you're replacing.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that Pollard and Tajay Spears aren't good backs, but they're just not Derrick Henry. So you just assume there's going to be a slight step back.
And, you know, that's, I think, going to be the key. And that's, you bring up, give Will Levis time. Mm-hmm. How much time does he get? And we'll get into that coming up next, because the reality is he is a second round pick. Mm-hmm. And the reality is moving on from a second round pick is more palatable than moving on from a top three, top five pick in the draft, especially Bryce Young, mm-hmm. and what Carolina gave up to trade up to get Bryce Young. So how much time does he get? And what do we think of it? The Athletic, way too early mock draft. And I understand that that means nothing at this point. We're a year away from actually talking about the essence of the mock draft. But the overall message is everyone thinks your quarterback sucks. What do we think of it? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Right now, where the Titans stand, do you think that it's more likely that Will Levis, you know, has a solid season and begins to give us more hope and optimism that he is a franchise quarterback? or that the Titans will be looking for a new quarterback in the 2025 draft?
I mean, I think it's more likely that they're looking for a new quarterback. Now, saying that, I just would also say this. I think that what they're going to do offensively, you know, just kind of what they're going to hang their hat on, the fact that the talent, I think, is a little bit more proven. Look, I think there is a good chance. Like those benchmarks I talked about of, you know, whatever, north of 25 touchdown passes and all that. Like, I think that's very doable in this offense, you know, for Will Levis. And so I do think there's a chance that he plays well in it. So I just would say, like, look, are you taking, like, Will Levis as the future or the field? Like, I think most people would say, well, like, I would take the field just because of the history of guys not drafted in the first round and how their opportunities typically go. But this, to me, is different than, like, Aiden O'Connell in Las Vegas. Like, I don't think there's any shot he's their quarterback next year. And I actually think he's a pretty good player. But I do think that there is a decent shot that it is Will Levis going forward in Tennessee.
That was Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. And when it comes to quarterbacks, I defer to Tim.
Yeah.
When it comes to receivers, I defer to you.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to...
Oh, lineman, we defer to Trevor.
Trevor.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. When it comes to guards, I defer to Derek.
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
Do we though?
I'm kidding. but that was Tim Hasselbeck. And when he says, you know, is Will Levis the future or the field, I take the field. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, if you give me that option of one team, one player over the field, like, I'm going to take the field.
Yeah.
If you ask me, like, you're going to take Georgia football to win the national championship or the field, as good as Georgia is, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to take the field just
exactly.
because that's where the better odds are at. So I think that is fair for Tim to say, and I would probably agree.
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis to the field? I'll probably take the field. But he did say, I do think it's going to be Will Levis in the future in Tennessee. But that is not the shared sentiment nationally. I actually saw a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, quarterbacks coming in, backup quarterback battles. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. You know, some storylines to watch across the league. And where was this? This is going to kill me. I'll pull it up and I'll give you the info. Who wrote it? Where was it from? But there was a breakdown of Mason Rudolph and Will Levis potentially competing for the starting job in training camp. And I'm like, what?
Huh?
What?
Oh,
and if that is the plan? To have a quarterback competition in training camp? You're bringing Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
He's not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And maybe Will Levis isn't either.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know enough and I don't have enough information to be able to say definitively that he's a franchise quarterback or not, that he's a backup or not. But, D-Mace, you brought up in the last segment, you know, give him time.
Mm-hmm.
Give him time behind more protection with better pass catchers, maybe in an offense that we assume we don't know. Again, another caveat here, another wild card here is Brian Callahan. He's calling plays. He's the head coach. He's never done either of those things. So that's a wild card as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we at least assume it'll be an offense better suited for a quarterback, more pass happy, more explosive. And you have, you know, added Calvin Ridley as a more explosive pass catching weapon for Will Levis. So we at least assume that this is an environment that is better for a young quarterback than it was last year. Is it perfect? No, it's not. Of course not. But you said give him time. How much time does he get?
You give him how much time you feel you need to. And this is because people got to understand. They see all these moves the Tennessee Titans are making from an offensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. They're making these moves because they had to. Because they were depleted of talent on the offensive side of the ball. More importantly, the offensive line. And we all know that. They did need more depth at the receiver position. I get it. Any depth at the tight end position. But the crux of all of this was the offensive line. So they go out and they automatically upgrade the offensive line by getting Cushenberry,
mm-hmm.
which I believe is going to make the left guard,
Skronsky,
a lot better. The you know, it's a big question mark, J.C. Latham, because he's a rookie and then he's switching from the right to the left. So there's just an automatic question mark. Even if he was just an offensive, just a left tackle, there still would be a question mark because he's a rookie.
He's a rookie.
Absolutely. So this team went out and addressed the areas they needed to address. But Brian Callahan is not going to make the mistake with making this a pass-happy team. He does that, Will Levis will fail. I'm telling y'all right now, if he makes this a pass-happy team, Will Levis will fail. He will fail, people. I'm telling y'all that right now. You will put him in a situation where the chances of him succeeding goes down tremendously. He's still a young quarterback. He's still learning this league. He's learning a new offense now. I hope he does pick it up pretty quickly, but he's still learning a new offense. He's learning a new receiver that's coming in.
It's a lot of Calvin new offenses. Really,
exactly.
In, what is it, the last 4 years? Will Levis has had four different offensive coordinators?
Absolutely. So, people, this is not going to be a pass-happy team. They're not. They went out and got Pollard wide because he's a strong runner. He can't catch the ball out the backfield, but if you watch Pollard, he's a strong physical runner. He doesn't look like Derrick Henry. Not many people do, but he's a strong, powerful runner that is now a year, because last 2 years removed from the injury of the knee. Then they got Tajay Spears to be sort of that change of pace back, but he can also run through the tackles too. They are priming this team to be a run-first team while the quarterback gets acclimated to the offense. Because, again, this is a new offense, and you can't expect Will Levis to go out there and throw the ball 35, 40 times a game.
Well, you're throwing the ball 40 times a game, you lose. You are going to have the second overall.
Exactly, but you're setting him up for failure. That's not – they're going to gradually bring him on. They're going to gradually allow him to grow in this offense. This is not going – there's going to be some games where he throws, you know, 30 times, probably more than that because they're down. But for the most part, in an ideal situation, they want him throwing the ball 22 to 25 times a game. We run the football. We play good defense until he starts figuring it out, until he gets acclimated and used to his weapons. That's the way I believe they want to go. Mm-hmm. Brian Callahan, we know what Cincinnati did, but Cincinnati had the first pick in the draft in Burrow. They had the second pick in the draft in Chase. Chase was second or third, fourth.
It was fourth or fifth.
Fourth, okay. They had a top five pick with Chase. The year before that, they went and got T. Higgins. They had Mixon in the backfield. This team was primed to be a throwing team. They went and got a quarterback that was the best quarterback, hell, the best player in college football the year prior. That was not Will Levis coming out. So how do you allow this young man to grow the way he needs to grow? You don't rush him, and you don't make this a pass-happy team. You allow him to grow within the offense. You went and got Pollard. You're solidifying this offensive line. You went and got more playmakers. But just because I went and got more playmakers doesn't mean we're going to throw the ball, because he's still a young quarterback. I can get Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, and Biletnikoff and put them, all three of them out there with a young quarterback. I still got to be cautious with him.
Well, I think at least if Brian Callahan is a good coach and play caller, which we'll see because we don't know, it is another unproven commodity. You're not going to call plays that doesn't suit your talent. If you're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, again, you will have the second pick in the NFL draft next year.
You're not going to call plays that doesn't gear towards your talent, but you're also not going to be naive and sort of reckless.
Yeah.
In saying, you know what, we got these weapons. We got Ridley. We got D-Hop. We got Traylon or whoever else that third guy is. Everything seems to be going. We could pass the ball. You don't want to do that to a young quarterback, because what you're going to do is open him up for more mistakes. You got to gradually bring – you got to bring him on as if he was your first pick in the NFL draft. I'm not saying give him the time that you would give your first overall pick, but you have to be cautious and careful with him that you don't try to throw too much on him at one time, because you're going to set him up for failure.
But you have to treat him like he's your franchise quarterback.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Because he is. He sort of kind of is.
That's what they drafted him to be. Uh-huh. I know that first round versus second round, I know there's a big difference and it feels like there's a big mental drop off. Mm-hmm. But still, if they don't trade up in the second round to take Levis, if they didn't see something in him, if they didn't see that he could be their future franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. So that's how you treat him. But also, with that being said, at some point, you have to make the decision. Is this our guy or not? Because I think the only thing that's more harmful to a team than, you know, constantly looking for quarterbacks is holding on to not the right quarterback for too long. And I hope that we get to a certain point one way or another, that Will Levis is so good that it is a very obvious, definitive answer, yep, he's our guy moving forward. or he is so bad. I don't hope he's bad, but I hope we have a clear answer that if he is so bad, then you know he is not the guy and we are looking for our next quarterback. Exactly how Dane Brugler expects it to happen. Dane Brugler expects the Titans to have the second overall pick and pick Carson Beck, a quarterback. But I feel like I've seen this story before, that he's probably going to be just good enough, but also just not good enough where you're in the mucky middle. I don't know if that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But doesn't that just feel like that's probably the more likely case?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, if the Titans are in a mucky middle, that's not a bad place to be. You don't want to be out of the mucky middle. You don't want to be at the back end.
But you don't want to be stuck you would in purgatory. Be,
yeah, but what I'm saying is that being in a mucky middle, at least this season, it gives you an opportunity that your quarterback is growing. You're still a good team. You're not a bad team. You're not one of these great teams. You're not the Kansas City Chiefs or, you know, San Francisco 49ers. But what you are is a playoff caliber team.
9-8.
Exactly. You are a playoff caliber team, and you're showing progression as a team and hopefully, more importantly, as a quarterback. So being in the mucky middle this season, I'm not saying stay there forever. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this upcoming season, being in the mucky middle is not a bad thing.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Because
being
now
permanently in the mucky middle?
Yeah, you can't be permanently in the mucky middle.
I'm just stuck in the mud.
Yeah, you end up being like the Buffalo Bills, I guess.
I would take the Buffalo
Bills. I'd take the Buffalo Bills, but it seems like they never get to where they want to go.
Just,
yeah. Oh my goodness.
There. And then Josh Allen turns the ball over.
There you go.
Get into your thoughts on this. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle is on the line with a thought on Will Levis. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Well, I am a huge Will Levis fan. I'm probably the biggest one that I know. I think he's going to be the top 10 quarterback for the next 10 years.
Why do you think so? What gives you encouragement that Will Levis will be a top 10 quarterback?
I've just studied football since I was 7 years old, and I know it.
So what specifically about Will Levis do you like?
I just see it. His qualities, his demeanor.
What qualities?
He has an attitude. His hips, his footwork. His vision, he's not scared. Whenever there's a blitzer coming right in his face, he will stand in there, take it, and deliver it. He's a gamer. He cares more about winning than he does his own body. He's just a gamer, and I know I don't have the way to explain it the best, but I just fully believe in him. And what's Tim saying? He believes that we'll either draft a new one or there'll be some free agent come available we'll grab next year. Is that what he's suggesting?
No, Tim was saying that if I asked him, is it more likely that Will Levis is, you know, the future franchise quarterback of the Titans or not? He said, well, if I have to choose Will Levis or the field, he takes the field. But he feels encouraged that Will Levis can be the future starting quarterback of the Titans. Or franchise quarterback, rather, not starting quarterback.
Okay. Well, also, too, we got to look at our owner, Amy. She told Vrabel and them, move up and pick him. She liked him. She wanted him. And she's going to want him to work out because her name is stamped on it.
Amy also wanted John Robinson, and he got fired.
And we got to look at Marcus Mariota. They wanted us to stick with Marcus as long as possible because that was supposed to be the guy that they wanted. The coaching staff wanted him out of there, and they wanted Tannehill. And, you know, of course, it worked out like that. So when they're stubborn, they'll probably stick with Will for 2 years, even if he isn't the dude, which I don't see that happening, but I think this season just is totally about getting Will comfortable. Like May said, don't be just slinging around all over the place. Just get him in trouble, get him sacked. He needs to learn the game, actually. He didn't get to learn or get any kind of feel last year.
Thanks for your call, Kyle. Appreciate it. To the point about Amy Adams Strong, I know in her press release she said, you know, we have a young quarterback that we feel really excited about. If we've noticed anything about Amy Adams Strunk over the past couple of years, she feels one way until she doesn't.
That
John Robinson, you know, was her general manager until he wasn't. When she told I'm not going to say she, because I don't know if it was Amy Adams Strunk that told Diana Russini, but somebody within the Titans brass told Diana Russini that they felt confident that Mike Vrabel was their coach of the future, and then 2 months later he was fired. Greg Aukerman, he had a horrible special teams day against the Indianapolis Colts at home. And then, boom, the next day, Craig Aukerman fired. She's reactive. And I know we're talking about coaches and that the quarterback isn't necessarily her jurisdiction, that that's the coaching staff and the general manager's job. But still, if we're going to bring up the owner, I think we also need to bring up that the owner has made reactive decisions in the past. Who's to say she's not going to do it again?
Yeah, she seems to, if she likes you, don't get too comfortable, because her liking you doesn't mean that your job security is straight, like you good, because obviously it's not, because we've seen in situations where it's been speculated or been reported that, oh, she loves this guy, and then all of a sudden she doesn't, you know, it seems like she doesn't about face and the guy's gone or guys are gone.
Boats him off the island.
Yeah, she's like, listen, y'all not getting the job done. We got to move on and move on quickly. If I'm going to make the decision, I'm making it right now. I'm not waiting. And you got to give her credit. She's done it, or, you know, she hasn't looked back. She hasn't looked back. She's been definitive on her decisions, and she's moved forward. We just hope that now she's found the right pair together, Brian and Rand, that this team can now, you know, succeed the right way. They can flourish the right way, where there's not, you know, one guy feeling as if he should be in charge over the other guy. You know, you have two guys that understand their space and they're working in their space and they're trying to get the most out of everybody that's in their space. Rand is trying to get the most out of his scouts and everybody else, and the coach, and the coach is trying to get the most out of his coaching staff and the players. So she can't change her mind.
Everybody's got a short leash.
Everybody, but that's what happens when, because this league has turned into, into sort of basketball now. It's become the NBA. This league has become the NBA. The patience is no longer there. The NFL was one of the teams, other than hockey, but I understand why hockey has patience, because it's a different CBA and everything else. And then they got a minor league, so they can send you to the minor league.
Baseball is the same way. I mean, the NHL is known as the fire the coach league.
Yeah, they are. They fire coach real quick, but I'm talking about in regards to players, too, because we can send them down to the minors and let them grow. But the NFL has become like NBA. Like, if you're not getting it done, We're going to move on.
It's like college football.
Exactly. Like, I said I loved you yesterday, and that was true. I did love you as my coach yesterday. But today?
Not today.
I don't love you today, because you must have did something that made me not love you today. So,
like A.J. Brown spanking the goalpost.
Exactly. So
not today.
It is what it is. So, but she's been definitive, and she's made her decisions, and she's moved forward, and she has not looked back. And if she did, she wouldn't tell us.
Right.
You know? So, but.
But I think Kyle's call was the perfect example of how, not all, of course not, but how a lot of Titans fans feel. I believe in him. Yeah. Why? Just the hips. What?
Yeah, you got to. You would say, if I'm a Titans fan and I'm looking at Will Levis, I say, okay, this is what I see. He's poised in a pocket.
He's tough.
He's tough.
Tough as nails.
He has a strong arm.
Totally.
You know, he does need to become more of a touch passer in those short intermediate routes.
Puts the ball in harm's way too much.
Yeah, he doesn't need to put the ball in harm's way, and he has to not put his body in harm's way. Sometimes you just got to go down and be able to play another play. Mm-hmm. So if you're evaluating Will Levis, those are some of the things that I've seen, and there are some things that I'm concerned about. But we will know all of that this year.
Grade is incomplete.
Yep,
and I can live with that. Mm-hmm. Right back into your phones on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Hey, join 1025 The Game for Kubota Orange Days at the grand opening of Coleman Tractor of Nashville's newest location this Saturday. Stop by anytime from 9 to 2 p.m. this Saturday for demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 1025 The Game will be on site from 10 a.m. to noon, so stop by and see us at Coleman Tractor of Nashville's newest location, 7221 Whites Creek Pike in Joel. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan. Today, as the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides at First Horizon Park, Pregame at 6:20 p.m. First pitch at 6:35. With coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Is it the Norfolk Tides or the Norfolk Tide?
I've heard both.
I believe it's the Norfolk Tide. Yeah. The Crimson Tide.
Yes.
The Norfolk Tide at First Horizon Park. Excuse me.
Okay.
Let's get back into your phones on this. We're reacting to Dayton Brugler's way too early 2025 mock draft. And I know that you're listening to that and you're probably rolling your eyes. I don't want to talk about the draft next year. But the essence of it is that Dayton Brugler has the Tennessee Titans selecting second overall and selecting a quarterback second overall. Which all of that wrapped in a tiny little bow says to me, nobody believes in your quarterback. Want to get your reaction on that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One texter texts in, says, I hope that he's good and the future because I like this guy, that he seems genuine but with an edge, a little high-strung. That's exactly what we need after a decade or so of robotic yes-man quarterbacks. And I love the catfish video with Cushenberry at the Preds game. That was hilarious. I did love that. I thought that was funny. And I do think that Will Levis is a very likable person.
Yeah.
But everyone's going to love you if you win games.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to love you if you don't.
I don't care how much they loved you before. You ain't winning games, they ain't going
to
love you.
Okay, welcome to life as a quarterback.
Exactly.
Michael says, it sounds like a lot of our fans think that Levis is a franchise quarterback because they want him to be one. Is it possible that the national media thinks Levis is not a franchise quarterback because they don't want him to be? Because then they would have to acknowledge the Titans. I agree with the first half of the text. Mm-hmm. I think that Titans fans believe that Will Levis is a franchise quarterback because they want him to be. And who wouldn't want your quarterback to be the franchise quarterback? Whenever we don't have an answer to something, I think that's kind of the theme of the discussion after the draft. We're not going to know what these picks are going to be until September, October, November, even next year.
Exactly.
So it's really easy right now when we have zero proof to say they're going to be great. To look at it with a glass half full mentality, because that's how fans think, and I get it. You want to think good things about your team.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? I totally get it, and I totally understand it. Why wouldn't you want to believe that your young quarterback is your franchise quarterback? But the truth is, nobody knows.
Yeah. We don't know just yet. So, but we will, you know, start to find out. The picture will become a lot clearer as we get into camps and then preseason and then obviously the season. We will find out whether, you know, Will Levis is making those strides to becoming, you know, the franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. or, you know, that you may have to draft another one, you know, the next following year. But that's something that nobody knows. So yep. I don't know how. You know, it's way too early. I get it. They got to do it. Well, they don't have to do it, but when they do it, they got to put somebody's name up there.
Yeah.
And because the Titans, you know, quarterback is in an exclamation point or period, it's a question mark, mm-hmm. then people, that's the first thing that people go to because it's the easiest. Oh, we can just go to the quarterback, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
You know, second pick in the draft, they're drafting a quarterback. I don't think it's that simple.
Yeah, and it's an uncomfortable position to be in, uncomfortable territory when this is such a quarterback-driven league. And now look at your division.
Exactly.
It's a quarterback-driven division. But I'm going to hold off on the Will Levis franchise quarterback talk until I know that he is. Yeah. And I've seen not enough to say that he is. All right, we'll transition back into the Predators. 2-1 win last night in Game 5. The Predators force a Game 6. We'll be back at Bridgestone Arena on Friday. TBD on puck drop time, but Adam Vingan will join us coming up next. We'll get his reaction to what he saw in Game 4. What a heartbreaker. What he saw from Game 5 and what he wants to see from Game 6. How can the Predators force a Game 7? We'll get into that with Adam Vingan coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.